Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Earlier this month, 17 people, including 8 children, were killed in the Bronx when a sudden fire spread through an apartment building. New York City officials have pointed to a space heater and faulty self-closing doors as the cause of the blaze. The city's office of the chief medical examiner has ruled that each of the deaths were an accident. But what exactly is an accident? I spoke with Jesse Singer, an investigative journalist and author of There Are No Accidents, The Deadly Rise of Injury and Disaster, Who Profits and Who Pays the Price, which is scheduled for release next month.
When it comes to accidental death in the United States, very little is random or unpredictable here. We know that because if that were true, if accidents were random and unpredictable, they would be randomly and unpredictably distributed across the U.S., but that is not true. Risk exposure and vulnerability define who dies by accident in this country.
What do we see instead? Since we're not seeing a random pattern, what does the pattern of accidental death look like?
The pattern of accidental death most starkly appears different racially and economically in accidents that are dictated by policy decisions, that are affected by how resources are distributed around the country, by the state of our infrastructure. So when we look at how accidental death strikes differently, we see that people of color are more likely to die of accidental chemical exposure, of accidental drowning, in accidental traffic crashes, in accidental fires, just to name a few. We also see state by state and county by county differences directly related to economic inequality. So you look at a place like West Virginia, where poverty rates are high. That's one of the most quote unquote accident prone places in the country. And just across the state line in Virginia, just a few miles away, half as many people die by accident. The rate is half. To me, that indicates that there are no accidents. Rather, there are just some deaths and injuries that we classify under this magic word of accident, allowing us to kind of ignore and not recognize the crisis.
Does that seem to be what we might have once called benign neglect? In other words, that we genuinely don't see it and we don't notice it for populations who we tend to shunt out of public view based on race, national origin, or particularly class? Or are these egregious, almost purposeful oversights?
I think that something that happens with accidental death that is somewhat unique to these ideas of unintentional injury, of unintentional harm, is that we focus in on the last person who made a mistake, the person who left their space heater on, the person who left the door open in the fire. And in that kind of obsessive focus on blame and this one person, we make accidents about personal responsibility and therefore miss these systemic patterns that could lead us to preventing the harm of these disasters.
Obviously, when you mention there leaving a door open, when you mention a space heater, all of us are still thinking about and mourning and asking questions about what happened in the Bronx. When you see not only that Bronx fire, but other similar fires, what do you see?
I can't not see other similar fires. When we look across the country, Black people are killed in accidental fires at twice the rate of white people. We could call that an accident if we want, but we're just lying to ourselves. What I see in that fire, first and foremost, is quite a bit of blame for the victims. We're talking about broken space heaters. We're talking about doors left open, and we're not having a conversation about why in a city where heat is a legal requirement, anyone needs a space heater. Why in a city where self-closing doors are required in an apartment of size, that it matters that a door could be left open. These are the systemic harm-reducing devices that we supposedly have built into our infrastructure so that when people make mistakes, the consequences aren't deadly. But we're in a moment where those systems are failing. They're unregulated, they're unenforced, and they're especially unenforced for low-income people, for people living in poverty, and for people of color.
I think, you know, when we hear the words deregulation, any of a number of things might come to mind, but not really accidental death. I mean, I'm not sure that we would particularly link deregulation to accidental death, but that's precisely what you're able to show.
Where do we die by accident? We die by accident in our homes, we die by accident on our roads, and we die by accident in our workplaces. These are all areas of the built environment that in the 1970s, we built a robust system to regulate, to hold corporate power to account, to make sure that they were protecting people that was fully in their ability to protect. But as those institutions, you know, like the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, NHTSA and OSHA, as they become defanged, their budget shrank, their staff shrunk, we die more by accident. And that's one point I really want to make, that this is an unrecognized, ignored crisis to the point of 173,000 people being killed every year. And that number is rising today, and it has been rising since the early 90s.
And I use this word purposely. What kind of levies do we need to ensure that it certainly won't end all deaths, accidental deaths, but to ensure that we would be looking at random and actual accidental deaths rather than deaths from neglect?
Solving the accidental death crisis is a twofold issue. On one end, we need to respond systemically. We need regulations that rein in corporate power, that create real financial penalties for failing to keep people safe when it is in your power to keep people safe, when you are a landlord, when you are an employer. There needs to be a cost for that. And we need regulations that can enforce it and that have the staff and the power to hold people to account. We also need to rebuild our infrastructure, and that includes the social safety net, so that people have resources to protect themselves and the wherewithal to protect themselves. So that, you know, driving to work or going to your job isn't a life or death proposition. I think the other aspect of this is a little cultural and social. We need to stop talking about perfecting behavior and start talking about preventing harm. If you look at something like the fire in the Bronx, a sprinkler system or self-closing doors, like, should have been regulated into that building. Those things don't prevent people from starting fires. What they do is prevent the harm of a fire. Just like a seatbelt or an airbag, it doesn't stop people from crashing their car. It prevents them from getting hurt when the worst occurs. Mistakes are inevitable. Premature death is not. We need to stop trying to perfect people and prevent the harm. And we do have the power to protect them. We know how to protect human life, but we don't.
Does this story that you're telling us about accidents also fit with, you know, what we might think of as like natural disasters, like an ice storm?
So natural disasters like an ice storm is what we would refer to as more of an act of God than an accident. You know, the way the weather is totally outside of our control, where things that affect accidental death are usually related to the built environment. However, because our accidental death is so wrapped up in the built environment and how our infrastructure is different around this country and policy decisions put us all at different levels of risk, what we see in these natural disasters is a rise in accidental death, you know, in when a blizzard, you know, struck Texas, for example, totally, you know, somewhat unexpectedly last year, a large number of people died of accidental hypothermia because their homes weren't heated. And those sorts of deaths are going to increase as large storms and climate change drives us into more unpredictable weather. Accidental deaths are going to increase as these quote unquote acts of God get, you know, more intense, hit us harder. I think another thing we saw here in New York City was a rise in people who accidentally drowned in their own homes when a storm that struck all the way in Louisiana crossed the country with such strength that it hit New York City hard enough to cause massive flooding. And, you know, that's a result of infrastructure. That's a result of unregulated basement apartments. But it's also a result of what we're doing to our climate and how that's putting us all more at risk of accidental death. Another thing we're seeing is a rise in migration, emergency migration, and accidents that are coming from that as climate change drives more people from the global south to cross the border. And to cross the border in increasingly desperate ways, there have been a number of massive car accidents on the Texas and California border where 20, 30 people are crammed into a vehicle speeding across country lines and are getting into horrible accidents. And so these natural events do interact with our totally unstable and inequitable built environment in ways that can be unpredictable, but the consequences are no less horrific.
What would you say to those who might say, this is the nanny state. This is the government knows better than you how to protect your how to protect you and your family, and so let us regulate you into unfreedom.
I never understand this concept of why not. I mean, literally, a nanny is a human being you hire to keep your child alive because children are vulnerable, and then we hit a certain point and we don't become invulnerable when we're past the age of needing to be nannied. We just are suddenly in this cultural environment where risks are a personal responsibility, despite known safety mechanisms, known ways to protect people. One thing I like to talk about when it comes to accidental death and understanding that this really is about risk exposure and how we are differently exposed to policy decisions that affect our likelihood of survival is choking on food. Across the United States, we all accidentally die from choking on food at the same rate. We don't all accidentally drown at the same weight or die in traffic crashes. Those things are affected by race and class because they're a matter of infrastructure. Choking on food, not so much.
Jesse Singer is an investigative journalist and author of the forthcoming book, There Are No Accidents, The Deadly Rise of Injury and Disaster, Who Profits and Who Pays the Price. Thanks so much, Jesse.
Thank you so much for having me.